and laying a wreath there. Our annual general meeting, it will all be Zoom, I'm assuming. I don't know about you this week, but as I've watched the rolling news, it's just been like the weather, cloud after cloud coming in, bearing rain. We've seen those heartrending pictures of the family, one of many, lost crossing the channel. We've seen that just frightening assault on liberty of freedom of expression just across the channel in France. We've seen the, well, I probably can't find a polite word to describe what's going on with the American election, but that has obviously has huge implications for our world. And now we have our latest lockdown. And a few weeks ago, Martin mentioned the word lament, and that has been resonating with me this week. And I'm glad to know that I'm not alone because the psalmists are very good on lament. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowd of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Saviour and my God. And then later on, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And I'd just like to pray into that thought now. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So let's pray. Lord, in these dark and difficult times, grant us grace to seek your face with undiminished love. Replenish our reserves, for the road is long. Surprise us in the coming days with glimpses of your goodness, hints of your holiness, and a song of hope in this very strange land. Amen. Now I'm going to hand over to Lawrence and Barbara as we make a joyful hum to the Lord if you're in the building, or feel free to sing if you're at home. sure I'm not alone in saying that that is just one of my absolute favourites and so appropriate for this time. So thank you to Lawrence and Barbara for that. Not quite sure what to say from the sublime to the ridiculous, but anyway, here's Diana and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're well today. And good morning, Clive. How are you today? And why are there all these leaves on the table? You feel a bit disappointed. Oh, what are you disappointed about? Is it anything to do with these leaves? Sort of. You're disappointed in yourself. Why is that? Today is All Saints' Day, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's the 1st of November, which is All Saints' Day. It's the day when many Christians remember all the saints who have gone before us, both those known and recognised and those unknown. But why is that disappointing? You've realised you're not very saint-like. So no one will remember you. Oh, Clive, I think it will be very difficult for anybody to forget about you. But you want to be remembered for being saintly. For being really good and kind and loving. But actually you don't like sharing your cake. You don't mind sharing cabbage. But cake is a bit different. Well, I'll give you that, Clive. Cake is very different from cabbage. You decided to turn over a new leaf. Well, that's a very positive thing. You thought so too. You gathered lots of leaves. Ah, these leaves that are on the table, do you mean? You turned them all over. But it hasn't made any difference. And now you realise they're not new leaves. They're old leaves. But they are quite pretty. Yes, some of them are really pretty. Beautiful colours. But perhaps I should explain something, Clive. When people talk about turning over a new leaf, they don't actually mean turning over a real leaf. And when we talk about turning over a new leaf, we actually mean a page in a book, because they're called leaves too. You didn't know that. Oh, so a clean page is like a fresh start. But very often we try to change ourselves and it doesn't really work. The Bible tells us that we should let God transform us by changing the way we think. If we fix our attention on Him, we'll be changed from the inside out and we'll be able to recognise what He wants from us and respond to it. I find it such a relief to know that it is God who works in me to transform me, into His likeness. Because if it was all down to me, it would never really happen. The Bible says that we can take our everyday, ordinary life, our eating, sleeping, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Then Jesus takes our offering and uses it for His glory. And He makes us more like Him, enabling us to share His love with others. What about sharing the cake? Well, allow God to change our hearts to love others as he loves us, then we would be willing to share the cake because we love the people that we want to share it with. So it's God who transforms us. Yes, it is. So you don't need to turn over any more of these leaves. No. Can we just enjoy them then? Yes, we can enjoy the leaves. We're going to enjoy the leaves. And we'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Diana and Clive. Just a reminder that we are going to be sharing communion later on in our time together. So if you aren't prepared for that, quickly go and get prepared now. But in the meantime, it's just a delight to welcome a real life preacher. Well, I think he's alive. He looked at it a few minutes ago. He did make some comments about organ grinders and monkeys, but I'll leave him to say which is which. But it's lovely to have Paul and Fiona with us this morning. And Paul's going to come and share God's word with us now.
Thank you, Liz. What a joy to be here and to finally get my mask off. And actually to be able to move around. I've been preaching at screens recently, which has been a bit weird and different. And Liz, no, I wasn't calling you a monkey. I was saying, what a joy to be introduced by an orangutan. Fantastic. And on this leaves front, I was coming into church this morning and the leaves have changed, or they're changing. And the colours that I saw reds and yellows and oranges and some were still green and all different, you know, a range of them. They're absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And I'm not a fan of autumn. You know, it's not my favourite time of year because it's kind of heading into the cold, wet winter months. But those leaves are just so special. The transformation of the ordinary green background to the main thing, to the, you know, to such a visual feast, is just wonderful. And that's what our reading is talking about. A transformation from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And that's what you get with a meeting with God. If you meet the God who created all, the God who was and is to come, then, you know, how can you not be transformed? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Very familiar verses maybe to many of you. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Shortly after Fiona and I came back to this church, Ophelia reminded me of this passage that I preached it. It was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago that I preached it from this very spot. Probably a very different sermon. Some might say better, but we'll see. But in this one, it's the same one. Paul's writing about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. By renewing of your mind. Paul had experienced transformation that had blown his mind, that had changed everything for him. He'd met Jesus on the road to Damascus in an amazing way. And he changed from someone who is, he's breathing out murderous threats, he's taking disciples captive to Jerusalem to hand over to the authorities, And he's transformed into an evangelist. He's transformed into somebody who preaches in marketplaces, who wrote much of the New Testament. So he's transformed to someone who someone that was doing God's work in reaching far-off places and introducing many people to Jesus and seeing them transformed. So he knows about transformation. And throughout the New Testament, you see transformation from people that meet Jesus. Andrew, Peter, James, and John, they're transformed from fishermen into disciples. Zacchaeus, he cheated people out of their money as a dodgy tax collector. And his transformed heart from meeting Jesus meant he paid back four times what he cheated them out of. The woman at the well was transformed from a social outcast to telling the whole town about Jesus and saying, come and meet him. The paralytic that was healed, that transformation was so that he could walk away. But no, he didn't. He danced away. That's the transformation. And in my experience, I met Jesus in 1985. And he has transformed my life. He's used that insecure boy from all that time ago to do extraordinary things. He's provided for me. He's answered my prayers, not always in the way that I expect them to be answered, but he's answered. He's given me a security of the future and a blessing of the present. And I praise him for that. And has the transformation finished? Should we ask Fiona? Better not. The answer is no, it hasn't. I think that the day you think it's finished is a very sad day. I am a work in progress. We're each a work in progress. We're becoming more like Jesus. As we meet him, we become transformed more and more like him. Our minds are renewed, become something fresh. That page turned into the page that says, this is who Jesus wants me to be. And it all starts from meeting with Jesus when I met him back then in 1985. I don't know when you met Jesus. What a special day. And if you haven't met him, I urge you to reach towards him, because he will transform your lives. The church, we're talking about deep wells and open doors, and I think that's such a lovely expression. And the deep wells, it's all about transformation. It's all about digging deep and meeting Jesus and becoming like Jesus. And it's right and proper. But if we just dig the wells and stay down in the wells, that's a bad place to be. Or a sad place to be, I think, because we're not doing what Jesus wants us to do. Are we staying until we're ready to do God's will? I don't think so. God's will is to just go and make disciples. And he says, I will be with you always. He sends us out. He says, go. The disciples weren't ready, but he sent them out. In fact, even when he was with them, he was getting them to do amazing things. If you think about the feeding of the 5,000, and I'm not going to read it now, but I would urge you to do so. Mark 6, 30 to 44, the feeding of the 5,000. Go and do it. Read it after lunch or before lunch even. Jesus, you know, there was 5,000 at least people there. And they were hungry. They were in need of food. And they said, and the disciples went to Jesus and said, look, what can we do? What can you do? And Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. What have you got, basically, is what he's saying. And they went away and they said, came back and said, well, we've got 5 loaves of bread. Oh, and 2 fish. That's not going to go very far, is it? And Jesus took it, praised God for it, put it in their hands, and got them to distribute it. And the miracle, this amazing miracle, happened in their hands. And their transformation at that point must have been, you know, even more, as they can see, wow, I can't even imagine how it happened or how it looked. But they just kept giving and kept giving. And 5,000 people is a lot of people. That's an awful lot. And there was so much left over. It's such an amazing miracle. God uses what we've got as he sends us out. He uses what we've got and multiplies it. And the transformation continues. The transformation in us continues, a continuous thing. Last week, Chris mentioned plants in small pots not growing, but if you put them in a big pot, or even better out, if it's appropriate, into the earth, they grow and grow. That's what they need. They need the space. And I know that my faith has grown whenever I'm stretched. It's whenever, you know, there's a big step, when there's more, when I'm scared of doing something and God helps me through that, my faith grows again and again. And maybe that is a prayer. Yes, Lord, please stretch, put me in those positions that my faith can grow again and again. What a wonderful place to be, to know your faith is growing. And during these recent times, during these COVID lockdown times, it's the closed doors of the church when we were in lockdown, I think in some ways opened up the church. They opened up the doors of the church because it caused us to think, how am I going to be church? How am I going to show my faith where I am out in the world? How can I make a difference where I am? Can I get to know my neighbours better? Can I love my neighbours better? And I think that's such a powerful thing for a church to be really doing. And I think having open doors and doing that, sending us out, or being out in the world, and loving our neighbour, can make such a difference. It's introducing our neighbours and those around us to Jesus. It's a chance to share our cabbage. I think Clive was a bit worried about the cake, but actually the cabbage right now is even more important than the cake. And can we share our cabbage? The ordinary stuff, sharing of the ordinary. Last night at the light party, we had a wonderful time. We were, we didn't have an all singing, dancing stage set and games and whoop whoop type party. We had small groups, 25 minutes with each group. And one person was with a family, and they can concentrate with that on that family. And it was just such a special time, because you could actually build relationships. You could introduce them to the Jesus into the conversation. It was just so lovely and so powerful, because there were a number of families who were met in that way and loved in that way. And actually, we had a really lovely time, a really good time. So well done to Diana and all the team. I think it was a really special and a good thing to do. Maybe a model of how we could be working in the future. That's how we're opening our doors, being outside of the church. But right now, I'm talking about open doors, and we're facing another lockdown. We're facing... I don't know the details particularly yet, because I've been focusing on this. And last night I was busy at the light party, so I don't know all the details, but I know it's going to be a tough 4 weeks and more, potentially. But I ask you, to be asking, how can I love my neighbour? How can I love the people God places around me? And we can really introduce them to Jesus in it, just with our attitude, just in maybe how we're even responding to the fact that there is another lockdown, and also how we're helping others and receiving help. Because I know Christians are rubbish at receiving help. Jesus received help from a lot of people. It's not a sin to receive help. Actually, it's making yourself vulnerable and can open up doors as well. So this time is really an opportunity for us to think back and look around us and think, where can I make a difference? How can I help? And a while ago, a few years ago, I was at Spring Harvest, and John Sentamu was there and was asked, what does the world need of Christians? And his answer, I thought, was brilliant. It says, let them see Jesus. That was it. That was his answer. And yes, absolutely, they meet him through you. The transformed you, the you that's becoming more like Jesus. And at that point, the transformation can begin in them. So I've got a challenge to you at this particular moment as we're entering another lockdown. Pray for those around you. Reach out to them in practical ways and let them meet an ordinary person living an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. Let them meet Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're not a remote God, but you're one that we can meet in person. And Lord, as we enter these difficult times ahead, I pray that you'd help us to know how to reach out to our neighbours, our friends, our family, for those that you've put around us. Help us to show you in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would bring wonderful conversations and transformations in these people because they've met the living Jesus. And in your name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Liz.
Thank you, Paul. We're going to move into our time of communion now. I'm hoping a PowerPoint is going to appear. There we are. It's the same communion liturgy that, if you have a good memory, you may remember me sharing right back at the beginning of lockdown, when the fields were just turning green in that amazing spring. Then again in August, as the fields were golden. And now, like many of you, I imagine, I take great solace in nature. And on my daily walks, as I walk around now, those green fields have gone. Those golden fields are gone. What is there now is mud, basically. Dark, wet mud as the fields have been ploughed up. And, you know, that just feels, I think, like so many of our lives at the minute. It feels as if roots and stones are getting churned up. But all the more reason then for us to gather round God's table and remind ourselves that in these times when the ground is being prepared, that's when he can meet with us. As we move through the liturgy, some of it is for you to say, and if that's the case, you'll see some little white text saying all, or at least I hope you will. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So together we say, we are the people of God. We are the body of Christ. We are scattered, and the body of Christ is broken. But as we gather, the body of Christ is remembered. So together we gather in obedience to Jesus' command to remember and to share together in breaking bread and drinking wine in remembrance of the death of Christ. Each piece of bread that we eat was once scattered across the fields, and the grain that God gave to grow has become for us the bread of life. Each sip of wine that we drink was once many vines, and the grapes that God gave to grow have become for us the new wine of God's kingdom. In our communion with one another, we are fed with the bread of heaven that sustains us, and we drink the wine of gladness that brings us joy. The people of Israel were sustained by God through their years of wilderness wandering. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. God rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. And we too are God's people, sustained by God through the wilderness of this world. Jesus said to his disciples, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, and broke it. He gave it to them with the words, this is my body, it's for you. Do this to remember me. Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, this cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of this world which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. God of all who are scattered and broken, you call us to wholeness. We thank you for the love demonstrated in giving your Son that we might be united with you. We thank you that in Christ you enter into the pain, uncertainty, and fear of our world, and that your arms are open in loving embrace, gathering us to you as a mother hen gathers her brood under her wing, as a shepherd gathers his flock. We thank you for bread and wine, symbols and signs for us today of your faithfulness to your people through all generations. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd of flock. Let us share in bread together. Then all the Judeans returned from all the places to which they had been scattered and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and they gathered wine and summer fruits in great abundance. Let us share in wine together. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I've said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world." Amen. As is our custom at the First Communion service after welcoming people into membership, we do welcome them in to the congregation. So we're going to do that now, and obviously it will be on video.
Well, good morning. It's a real joy to welcome Paul, Fiona, Suzanne and Stuart into membership. So we'll say some words together, and I will speak on behalf of the church, but I encourage you to participate at home or in the building to welcome them into membership. So I'll begin. In the name of our loving God, is it a joy to welcome Paul, Fiona, Suzanne and Stuart into the membership of this church. They are committed to serving God in this community, and today we acknowledge and thank God for that commitment. So the first question is, to all four of you, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
I do.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in worship, life, and witness of Great Shelford Free Church?
I do.
And will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and the wider world?
I do.
As a community of disciples of Jesus Christ, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I do.
Now, if you're gathered with us this morning in the building or at home, I'd encourage you just to stand as we welcome them, as I welcome them on your behalf. We welcome Paul, Fiona, Suzanne, and Stuart into the fellowship of this worshiping community. God has given them gifts to Paul, Fiona, Suzanne, and Stuart, and through them has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support them in Christian service and the responsibilities of church membership? We will pray for Paul, Fiona, Suzanne and Stuart and encourage them through hospitality, friendship and prayer. And what I would normally do now is offer a hand of fellowship and welcome. We can't do that, but we warmly welcome you to be part of our church fellowship. And we're excited how God will lead you and lead us in our journey together. So welcome on behalf of Great Shelford Free Church.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd love just to pray for you now. Loving God, we believe you have guided Paul, Fiona, Suzanne and Stuart to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we have made together. We pray that they may grow in grace, strengthen their faith and ours, build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon us all to strengthen us for service and to make us more like Jesus Christ. And through your grace, empower us that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's been a joy to welcome you, even though we've had to do it in this strange way. But on behalf of the church, welcome into membership.
Thank you.
We couldn't have a handshake, but we felt we might be allowed a small clap. We're going to hand over now to Lawrence and Barbara for our final song of worship. Like to finish with a prayer of blessing. Embracer of all who held out your arms and joined up the circle of life, embolden us to believe that our lessening will bring new growth, that as we cut back the branches and trust that the bud will come and sweep the leaves to make a pathway through, make us bold to clear a space and allow your autumn work to unfold in us. Help us to sit in silence and let you be all in all. For in the pounding of the grain is the sharing of the bread. In the crushing of the grape is the pouring of the wine. And in the falling of the leaves is the feeding of the roots. In the cutting of the corn is new seed that will rise again. In the dying time and darkness is your promise of hope renewed. For you have lain in the death of the grip of death and felt the power of love's release. Release in us the power of love as we set out from here. Release us in your love. Amen. God bless you all. I'm sure Lou won't mind if you're a few minutes late getting your coffee ready before you join in coffee and chat. Thank you.